I spent my adolescence at the folk mass, singing and playing the guitar in my Holy Trinity school gym, right next to the church where the regular mass was going on at the same time, 9:15 on Sunday morning. I really liked the church mass better because Holy Trinity Church is so beautiful. It has this marble altar, and there's a carving of the Last Supper right on the front, and up above, a gigantic stained glass window that depicts Jesus ascending to heaven on a cloud. The elementary school gym, well, you know, and it even smelled like a gym. But I had yearned to sing and play the guitar with the folk group at that folk mass. And you may have heard me mention this sometime. I had seen a little red guitar in the window of the Poughkeepsie Music Shop in downtown Poughkeepsie, where I took piano lessons. And oh Lord, did my heart light on that red guitar, the color of fire. It was beautiful. It stood out with drama and power. My sweet parents bought it for me for Christmas, and as soon as I learned to play like four chords, C, F, D, G, I could play almost every folk mass hymn, and I was in with my fiery red guitar. One of my favorite folk mass hymns was not a shredder. It was Spirit of God, and that waltzy tune was one that I loved so much. It really was one of the reasons that I wanted to be in the folk group. Blow, blow, blow till I be but the breath of the Spirit blowing in me. The breath of the Spirit. I loved that image. It captured me. I know that that imagery is pretty ubiquitous in Christian Holy Spirit prayer and literature and talk, but it was a discovery to me at that time. I sang it to myself a lot, and I was always overjoyed when it was one of the hymns on Sunday. And so in today's Gospel of John, the Spirit is breath. Jesus came into the locked room and said, "Peace be with you." And he blew his breath on them. Receive the Holy Spirit. We don't always think of this gospel reading as Pentecost because we know the other story we read from the Acts of the Apostles so well, and that story is so dramatic. And suddenly from heaven there came the sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. And as much as this powerful scene is the story of Pentecost that fires up our imaginations like a red guitar, we still are more drawn in prayer and attitude to that Spirit as Ruach, breath, the breath of the Spirit. The gift is peace and blessing. And it is violent wind and fire. Because the breath is life. How well do we know this now? During a pandemic that puts our loved ones on ventilators and has killed more than 100,000 people in this country that our leaders so blithely accept. The danger to our fundamental sacred breath is all around us. Even as so many disregard caring for each other and shun a simple mask, arguing that this breath that we take, it isn't everything. Your breath isn't everything until you can't breathe. How well do we know this? When just days ago, another African-American man, always another, George Floyd, pleaded, "I can't breathe," as he is murdered by the police. We Christians dare not speak about the Spirit as breath if we don't talk about "I can't breathe." Because Jesus didn't send the Spirit, did not breathe his own Spirit just to fill their hearts. The filling of their hearts with the Spirit has a purpose, to send them forth, to send us forth. In the Gospel of John, the risen Christ comes through locked doors to frightened people, and breathing the Spirit says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And in the Acts of the Apostles, the violent wind shakes the house, and the tongues of fire come to rest on their heads, and they are sent forth into the streets. They're evangelizing in other languages to the crowds gathered from every nation under heaven, it says. Because that's who the Holy Spirit is here for. Everyone. We are sent forth on Pentecost to speak a language that everyone can understand, because we are to speak in one breath as one Spirit. And what we are sent to speak is the message of love and salvation for everyone through Jesus Christ. And so, Christians, I say again, we dare not come to celebrate the breath of the Spirit on Pentecost if we don't talk about "I can't breathe." When our black brother's neck is crushed under a white knee and he says, "I can't breathe," then Christians should be ignited and united to stand together and demand, "Stop killing black people," until people from every walk of life can hear it and understand and come together as one people. And those of us who are white, we need to say it not just with words, but with actions and with change in our own hearts, admitting to ourselves, even if we are without malice, that we need to face the seeds in ourselves of privilege and oppression and division that are part of our cultural heritage. When the Holy Spirit gave the gift of understanding languages, it was with fire, a vibrant sign, and suddenly they were on fire. Out they went into the streets, no longer afraid of Rome, no longer worried that people might not understand, but so fired up with the Spirit that people couldn't help but understand. And friends, the Spirit never left. The Spirit was blowing through creation, and the Spirit is blowing right here and now with us. We need to be fired up for Christ's peace and justice and unity like it's Pentecost. The Spirit continually renews the face of the earth. And you and me, are we ready to be renewed? Are we ready to join the work for change? Because the people pouring into the streets in Minneapolis and in New York and Los Angeles and Oakland and Atlanta and DC and Seattle are. In these isolating and fraught times we live in, we're longing for old freedoms. But not everyone ever had those freedoms in the same measure, and still don't. Back to normal looks an awful lot like murderous oppression to the families of George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor. And you know, I could just keep listing names, right? If we are too busy longing for our old life, how can we be ready for what the Spirit brings anew? We aren't called to go back to something. With the Spirit alighting on us with tongues of fire, we need to be transformed, and we are the ones sent forth to bring change and to renew the face of the earth in the name of Jesus. Look, we haven't brought justice on the earth throughout its whole history, and not in our nation either. I know I haven't done enough in my own privileged life, even though I profess to and I sincerely want to. It can feel impossible, too big. But nothing is impossible with the Spirit. So in these times, as in all times, being a Christian is not just a sermon today, and it's not just words. It's standing and acting for and with the oppressed. And in this nation, the oppressed are people of color. My friend Eli Moore, a dedicated community organizer, said, "Racism must be directly and consistently named, paid attention to, analyzed, organized against, directly confronted and transformed at every level." We have to educate ourselves, to volunteer in organizations and movements, to make concrete contributions of talents and treasure and time. Join organizations led by people of color. We will not lead this work, but we will play a critical role when we contribute our life energy. It's calling legislators and police departments. It's writing. It's showing up in solidarity, not in violence. It's voting rights. It's speaking out about it with others. And it's listening. This week, I read again, "Just Remember SAS, S-A-S. When you see a person of color being questioned or hassled, stop. Ask if they're okay and stay. Be a witness. Stop, ask, stay, SAS. And it's facing the racism in myself. With more reading and conversation and interaction and action and real inner work that changes what I do and what I'm oblivious to in the world." The writer Ali Henney posted, "You can't say that you think racism is wrong and then refuse to listen to the ideas of anti-racists that make you angry or uncomfortable. Because the Spirit did not descend on Pentecost to make us comfortable. Transformation shakes us up. It's tongues of fire red. But in transforming us, the Spirit empowers us. And the Spirit loves us and holds us when we're weak and pushes us forward when we're afraid and, yes, asks us to do hard things because Jesus did and we are followers of Jesus. We're more than that. We are Jesus' hands and feet in the world. And Jesus breathes his peace on us. So we can be fired up for the mission without incinerating everyone around us. With the peace of the Holy Spirit blowing through your being, true love of God and true love of neighbor in your heart, then even fired up with holy fire, we act in love. We listen with ears and hearts to truly hear each other." Pentecost. The Spirit gives us the gift of understanding. If we only can stop speaking past each other and listen. Spirit of God, creation is groaning. Fill the earth, bring it to birth, and blow where you will. Blow, blow, blow till I be but the breath of the Spirit transforming the world through me and you.